Today's reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 and 24 to 31. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with it, with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you again. I'm looking out at some of the beauty of God's creation. Blue sky, green field, garden's got quite a bit of snow in it. There's a robin bobbing around and a blackbird. That's just something to be thankful for, isn't it? When I was 16, I became fascinated by physics. I just scraped through physics and chemistry at GCE. But the teachers had said, "Well, I think you've got the makings of a scientist." And because my maths was good, I managed to get on quite well. I became particularly fascinated with the small and with the large. So in the small, we were talking about different particles, muons and leptons and positrons and all sorts of stuff like that. And then in the large, it was the cosmos. The planets, how things had come into being, how old was the Earth and things like that. I'm still interested today. But you know, scientists believe that they have defined the timing of the Big Bang to 13.77 billion years ago. Earth is just 4.54 billion years old. But of course, this still assumes that the beginning of everything originates from the Big Bang, and that's a singularity, which is a mathematical explanation for a physical impossibility. You may not be interested in that, but they've made startling discoveries in many fields, including the composition of matter and the cosmos. But I believe that the truth remains: in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. My reading should probably have been all of Genesis 1, but that would have taken quite a long time. I do encourage you to read it all at home, because it's a wonderfully picturesque description of the cosmos, not written to answer the scientific questions of how, but to express wonder and praise and appreciation of what God has created in his time. I'm sure we could have had a whole series of sermons based on Genesis chapter 1 and maybe the second creation story in Genesis 2. But today, we are resuming our series on the Word of God as we explore the spoken word. And we'll be exploring that for 3 weeks, and then we'll go on to the living word, even Jesus himself. And could there be a better place to start the spoken word than the beginning, Genesis 1? And there the words God said leap out of the page 11 times in 31 verses. I've been reading David Atkinson's book, his commentary on Genesis. And this is what he says about the first chapter. The poem of beauty and grandeur, which forms the opening chapter of our Bibles, is a hymn of praise to the majesty of God the Creator. That's not to say that it was necessarily written as a hymn of praise or of worship, rather that countless believers through the ages have found that this chapter evokes praise. Through its structure's harmonies, our hearts are tuned to the music of the heavens, and our minds are lifted to contemplate God as the source and the sustainer of all that is. In our exploration, I want to briefly look at three things from our text of Genesis, and then I want to fly through God speaking to us throughout his good book and still speaking today. I think we should be able to complete that by about 2 p.m. this afternoon, okay? So firstly, God speaks and it happens, or at least by the time the writer pens his dramatic account, it has happened. And then he and we can wonder at the splendor of it all. He expresses the initial state in verse 2. He says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Note, the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning, as was Jesus. Look at John and chapter 1. And then in verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 9 and verse 29 right through, each segment of God's creation is allocated to a day. And I think that's a day as perceived by St. Peter in his second letter when he says, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." So each segment begins, "And God said," as he breathes his creation into existence. And then each little segment is written almost like the verse of a poem. So he starts, "God spoke and commanded. It was so. It was named sky or sea or whatever. And God saw that it was good. And that was the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day." I love one wonderful throwaway line that there is in verse 16. "He also made the stars." Goodness me. I woke up one day last week when the snow was on the ground and looked out of my window at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was beautifully clear. And there were myriads of stars across the sky. That's what he's talking about here. And then in 5 days, which progressively became more and more complex, more packed, we have glory given to the Creator of all things, who has spoken and brought into existence light and sea and sky and dry land and vegetation and plants, the lights in the sky, the living creatures, the birds and the fish. And then in verse 24, we come to day 6. And this is what it says. Verse 24, "And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals, and God saw that it was good." But he hadn't finished with day 6, because in verse 26 he goes on to say, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness." That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. in our likeness and let them rule over the fish of the sea, etc. Now, God created you and I in his image. That then makes us different, doesn't it? So secondly, the pinnacle of God's creation is the human being made in our likeness. You and I are privileged in God's creation. You and I are different from the rest of creation because God has made us in his image. And in verse 31, he says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, we could argue from now to kingdom come about what it means that we are created in the image of God, but we're not going to do so. Suffice to say that God is not man or woman shaped, except for the 30 years or so when he was here as the God-man, Jesus. And we are not the same as God, even though we've been trying to mold God into our image ever since he made us. And then thirdly, he has given us responsibilities which he expects us to keep. The second part of verse 26 says this, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, or over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the earth. And then a little bit later he said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, etc. We certainly have got some serious responsibilities, haven't we? And we think we could do with reassessing some of them, both corporately and individually. How we need to listen to what God is saying to us today, particularly about his creation, about his sovereignty, about his love for us, and about our responsibilities. Now, as we turn the pages of the Good Book, we continue to see God speaking. He now speaks to specific individuals and through them to nations, particularly his chosen nation of Israel. So later in Exodus, we read of God speaking to Noah with specific instructions about a boat and a flood. He speaks to Abraham about a son and a nation. He speaks to Isaac about his family and his possessions. He speaks to Jacob about his inheritance. And he speaks to Joseph about his dreams and his governmental responsibilities in Egypt. And each time it happened just as God said. If we turn over to Exodus, it picks up the story and the history, the happenings and the traditions of the Hebrew people, which of course occupies much of the Old Testament. God speaks out of a burning bush to Moses, who eventually through many times of speaking with and encouragement from God, coupled with discouragement and a disobedience from the people, eventually brings them out of Egypt. Through the history books, through the poetry, and through the Psalms, through the books of prophecy, spanning over 1,500 years, we read that God spoke and it happened. The writer of Psalm 33 realizes this, and he begins Psalm 33 with these words, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. And then in verse 9, he says, for he, God, spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Yes, sir. In our next few sermons, we are going to remind ourselves of God speaking in and through Jesus, his son. But you might like to think back to our readings at Christmas time. God speaking, often through messengers. He spoke to Zechariah and Elizabeth, to Joseph and to Mary, to the shepherds and to the wise men, to Simeon and of Anna. God spoke and it came to be. God spoke and it happened. Jesus, the Saviour of the world, has come. And look what happens when he speaks. And God still speaks today. Often it's through the written word, this wonderful book. Sometimes he speaks to us in our intimate times of prayer, speaking and listening with him. Sometimes he speaks through his creation, through different experiences and through different people. Maybe, Phil, we ought to have a series on God speaking today. And when God speaks, it does happen. Right back in the Old Testament, Numbers 23:19, the writer says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? Well, I hope that you and I can answer to these questions with a resounding yes. God does speak, and yes, he does do. And that then our ongoing response is yes. Yes, I want to follow you, Lord. Yes, I am listening to your voice. Yes, I am hearing what you want me to say. Yes, I'm hearing what you want me to hear. And yes, I am obedient to what you say. Yes, I know you. Yes, I love you, my Lord and my God. Thank you that you love me. Amen.